In Bhagavad Lila, 11th canto, chapter 3, the Yadu dynasty retires to Prabhasa Kshetra, north of Dwarka, on the coast, west coast of Bharat. Once Brahma came to Dwarka to have darshan of Sri Krishna, and he was accompanied by his sons and Lord Shiva and Indra and varieties of demigods. Demigods gazed lovingly and appreciatively at the Lord, bowed down and praised him, numerous, so many prayers. And then Brahma said, "My Lord, you remove the burden from the earth and spread your fame everywhere and establish religious principles. Now Kali is coming. You have remained on the earth for 125 years with your Yadu associates. Nothing remains to be done by you. Now you may return to your abode in the spiritual sky. As your humble servants, we will manage the universe." Krishna replied, "Brahma, I have executed all that you desired, but I still must remove. I have to remove the burden of my own dynasty, the Yadus. Now they become strong and courageous and very proud. I have to check them, otherwise they'll take over the earth. And the Brahmin's curse has already set the annihilation in motion per my desire and will, because I cursed my son Samba. After I return to Vaikuntha, I will visit you in your abode at Satyaloka." Brahma offered obeisances. And Krishna spoke to the assembled Yadus. "Our dynasty has been cursed by the Brahmanas, and we cannot counteract that curse. Consequently, our environment is disturbed, and we're suffering, and we're insecure. We should go to Prabhasa Kshetra, a very safe and secluded holy place. The actual tattva, or tattva siddhanta behind this lila, is that those Yadus who assisted Krishna in his Boma Vrindavan Leela at Dwarka in Dwapara Yuga, once in a day of Brahma, they are actually demigods. They had descended from the heavenly planets. So the Lord wanted to arrange that they could return to their heavenly posts." Very interesting point. Knowing, the Lord knowing the potency of the Dham, Vrindavan Dham, Puri Dham, Navadvip Dham, Vrindavan Dham, the Lord is all-knowing, omniscient. And he knew, the Sarvagya Lord, Bhagavan Sri Krishna Dwarkadish, he knew that if he annihilated the Yadavas that were previously, the ones which were previously demigods, if they were annihilated in Dwarka, because it's a dham, it's one of the mukti dhams, Haridwara, and Puri, and Chardam, and Rameshwaram, and Dwarkadam. Anyone dies there, they get liberated to the spiritual world. So then he suggested they go there so they could die outside of his holy Dham. And he told the glories, he started to recite the glories of the holy Dham, encourage everyone. Being convinced by his talk of the Mahima of Prabhas, they left their Dwarka island, and then came to the mainland. Uddhava was worried because he saw fearful omens everywhere. He approached his dear Lord Krishna in a secluded place and said, "My dear Lord, I understand. You are concluding your pastimes within this universe, and thus you're withdrawing your dynasty from this planet. You could have counteracted any curse on your dynasty and Samba by your power, being all-powerful. But I know you did not do that because your disappearance is part of your lila, Moshala lila. However, my Lord Keshav, I cannot tolerate even a moment's separation from your lotus feet. Please take me with you when you leave this world, O my Lord, O Supreme Mystic, What are we? We are conditioned souls and karmic bondage. But if we hear and chant to remember you, we will cross this world of birth and death. We ecstatically remember your amorous pastimes, Shringharas, with your gopis and queens in conjugal love, and how you boldly smiled when you were so engaged. Just to backtrack a little bit, because now we've concluded chapter 3, I want to mention some of the interesting purports in chapter 1 of 11th canto. Text 7, Vishwanath is describing, of course the verse is describing the beauty of Krishna and the power of reading about Krishna and why Krishna is called Hari. Krishna is called Hari, Lord Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, Hari Bol, Hari Krishna, Hari, Hari Ram, sometimes Hari, Hare. So Hari, the Sanskrit word Hari means lion, but the more common meaning is that Krishna is a thief. And so what did he steal? Usually human beings rob from other human beings. Human beings don't go and steal acorns from squirrels or chana from monkeys or bones from dogs. But human beings usually rob and thieve and steal and plunder other human beings. The poor rob the rich, etc. So Krishna is aptly and correctly called Hari, that great transcendental thief, because he stole many things. So one thing he stole away, he stole the vision of everyone who saw him, because his form was so gorgeously attractive and beautifully sweet to behold, that he stole their sight. They were lost in his darshan. And anyone who heard his attractive madhurayagira, anyone who heard Krishna's attractive, sweet, melodious voice speaking, they would become speechless. And since generally people that are speechless, that have lost, that don't know how to speak, they're called dumb. Dumb means you can't speak, but generally when someone is speechless, they also lose the power of their ears. So a person is not only dumb, but he's deaf. Deaf means you can't hear. Some disease from birth or whatever, trauma, accident. So Krishna's speech is so beautiful that people, he stole their power of hearing. And then they became speechless and they lost their power of hearing. So Krishna stole away everybody's mental balance and left them being deaf and dumb. Because those that were not dumb and speechless, and he stole their power and stole their ears. Because he stole the ears of those who heard him. And they were no longer interested in hearing mundane sounds or Gramikanta. All they wanted to hear was Krishna speaking and Harikata, topics about Krishna. And people are always walking here and there, being carried by their legs and feet to engage in so many karmic activities. Walking here, walking there, moving here, moving there. Running here, running there, running on wheels, running on their feet, running in planes. Because they're running everywhere on their feet to engage in karma, materialistic activities. When Krishna displayed his beauty on this earth, the beauty of Krishna's footsteps stole away those who saw him. It took away their power to perform karma. They could no longer walk when they saw Krishna's beautiful lotus feet. Simply by Krishna's appearance in this world, he took away the senses, eyes, nose, tongue, hands, everything of everyone, all mankind. He made the people blind and deaf and dumb and mad and otherwise invalid. Therefore, Vishwanath asks the question, since Krishna took away everything people possessed, who would properly call him as merciful, Kripalu? Rather, this Bhagavan is just a thief. Chor Bhagavan. Of course, indirectly, Vishwanath was offering the highest praise by an indirect method, and the pretext of condemning, he was actually praising the incredible, indescribable beauty of Sri Krishna. And Vishwanath says, although in these past times we've heard in the Bhagavatam, Krishna gave liberation to the demons by destroying them, yet to those that were attracted to Krishna and are attracted now, Krishna gave pure love of God and drowned those devotees in the ocean of his own beauty. Not only, and Krishna is so merciful, he's actually very merciful, that he gave highest benediction to the earthly residents, but he also empowered great saintly persons like Vedavyas to describe his wonderful exploits and pastimes in beautiful poetic verses. And anyone in the future who appears on this earth planet can easily cross the ocean of birth and death by hearing the topics and enjoying the glories of Krishna through the Bhagavatam and other granthas. He describes the word padam. Agat swam padamishvaraha. This phrase, agat, agat means gati, going, moving. Swam, his own. Padam, his place, Ishvara. It indicates this Sanskrit verse in Bhagavatam, 11th canto, not only that Krishna went to his own abode after leaving this material world, he returned to the spiritual world, but that he realized his determined desire. So the word padam means, in Amarakosh dictionary, the word padam, P-A-D-A-M, shortly, means that which has been decided. It also means place of deliverance. It means fortune, object, and the obvious foot, lotus feet. But he explains that people normally say that Krishna went back to his abode, but this is incorrect because Krishna never leaves his spiritual abode. Vrindavanam prityaja ekam padam nagacchati. As if we say that Krishna returned to his eternal abode, that phrase implies that he was absent from his abode while he was elsewhere, as in the earth planet, and now is returning. So Vishwanath says this is not correct. He quotes Brahma Samhita, saying that Krishna is always present, always, at every moment, in his eternal abode in the spiritual sky. Yet by his causeless mercy, he manifests himself from time to time within the material world. In other words, God is all-pervading, and even when he's present before us in Boma Vrindavan, and Boma Dwarka, Boma Mathura, he's still, at the same time, he's simultaneously in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan, Braja Gokul. So ordinary conditioned souls, we're not all-pervading. So if we're present here, we can't be present there. In fact, we're suffering because we're absent from the spiritual world. His appearance and disappearance in this material world can never be compared to ordinary material activities. Krishna's appearance and disappearance in different planets in this material world is like the rising and setting of the sun, which does not affect the sun itself, either at sunrise or sunset. As long as he's present in one universe, there's transcendental light pervading that entire universe. But the universe from which he passes away from is put into darkness. But Krishna's pastimes are everlasting. Krishna is always present in some material universe, as the sun is always present, shining brightly in the sky, whether the eastern or western hemisphere. The sun is always shining beautifully and brightly in the midday sun. Sometimes that'll be in India or America. But when the sun is in India, then we say, oh, America is nighttime, it's dark. And when the sun is present, shining in America, we say, oh, Indian subcontinent is darkness. Goswami makes a nice comment on this first chapter verses. He says that Krishna was here personally, visibly, tangibly, darshan 5,000 years ago. And the people that personally experienced his pastimes as his contemporaries, they got so much benefit. But even we, living in the earth planet 5,000 years ago, if we study Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami says, and hear and chant about the activities, form, and words of Krishna, we will get the same benefit as those who personally experienced these things while living with Krishna here 5,000 years ago. In other words, Jiva Goswami says, by hearing about Krishna's Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela in the Bhagavatam and his teachings, Shiksha, one will cross over the darkness of birth and death and achieve the spiritual world. We can ask the question, why did Krishna perform his Moshala Leela, his transcendental pastimes of arranging to destroy and annihilate and kill or whatever his entire Yadu dynasty? He wiped them off the face of the earth. We hear that God or Bhagavan Sri Krishna is Aptakam. He's Atma Ram, which means he's self-satisfied and blissful. And Aptakam means that he has no desire to fulfill. So why? What was the cause? Why did he annihilate the Yadavas at Prabhasa Kshetra? Fighting with bamboo sticks in the rage of intoxication from wine. There are three specific reasons why Krishna delivered his dynasty from this world as he wound up his pastimes in his Prakat Leela here. One, he wanted to reinstate in the heavenly planets those demigods who had appeared on the earth planet among the Yadus to assist him. Two, he wanted to reinstate or reestablish his plenary Vishnu expansions and their abodes. In other words, he would withdraw them from himself. They would go to Vaikuntha, Shwetadweep, and Badrik Ashram. And thirdly, he personally wanted to remove himself from the vision of the material world along with his Nitya Parishads, Nitya Parikars, his eternal associates like Vasudeva, Devaki, Rohini, Balaram, etc., and himself. Commenting on chapter 2, 11th canto, 55, says, Pranaya rasanaya vidangri padma sabhavati bhagavata pradana ukta. Says that devotee who takes shelter of the Lord and chants his holy name in pure love, with genuine love, Krishna can never leave the heart of such a devotee. One who has captured Krishna within his heart is known as a Bhagavat Pradhan, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Vishwanath explains, commenting on the Damodar Leela, Namamishvaram Sat Chirananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam Yashoda Biyoluka Ladvavamanam. Mother Yashoda, actually he explains in Damodar Leela, Vishwanath Chakravartipad, explains how the devotee can bring God under his control. In Gokul Leela, in Dwapar Yuga, Yashoda Ma bound Lala to a grinding mortar with a rope. Krishna, being attracted by the inconceivable love of his devotees, especially like Mother Yashoda and Janani, Yashoda Rani, Krishna allowed himself to be bound by her ropes. Although Krishna binds all the conditioned souls by the chains of his Maya Shakti, Karma Bandhana, if those same conditioned souls become Premi Bhaktas of Krishna, they themselves in turn can bind Krishna by the chains of love. So he who binds everyone in the world can be bound by that one who loves him.